Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jason Tam on Stardish Radio. Tune in.
This is Forbes Myers, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen Alderson, and I am on Stardish Radio, the coolest radio station ever.
Hi, this is David Fumero, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa Fumero on Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today, September 16, 2008, I'm your host, Joanne. The call-in number is 347-945-5423. Please go download and rate the shows when we're done. The ratings are so important, guys, so make sure you do that. I am bringing on Mr. Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Joanne. Good evening to you. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody tonight on this Tuesday night?
Oh, it's fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, it's so very ironic because now we had Brandon Buddy a couple of months ago, back in July. We had Kristen Ellerson and Jason Tam both last week. And now tonight, we get the last member of the Lambeau Fab Four.
Absolutely. Brittany Underwood, last but not least, so to speak, you know?
Yeah.
For everyone, I just opened the chat room. I was a little late in opening that up, so please get in there and start chatting away. Let's see. I'm going to see if our girl is here yet. I don't think so. But in the meantime, I wanted to touch on tomorrow, Actress Robin Sidney from Drake and Josh on Nickelodeon, and also the upcoming movie The Jonas Brothers in 3D will be on. And then also there's been an addition to the calendar on September 17th. Actor Graham Shields is going to be coming back for an encore. He is currently starring in the HBO smash hit True Blood, and he'll be on as well on the 17th at 10 p.m., so make sure you all tune in for that. It's a pretty awesome show. If you've never seen it, definitely go check it out. It's really, really good.
That's a show that stars Anna Paquin, by the way.
Yes, Anna Paquin's in that, and Carrie Preston, and a few other people. So Graham will be coming on to discuss that. Let's see. I'm going to bring Georgette on the phone. Georgette.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Georgette.
Our girl didn't call in yet.
Oh, she will. Give her a second.
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to let you know that. So we're
sorry,
just.
I just got home. I went and got Starbucks. I'm dying.
Okay. So we have 13 people on hold. So why don't you quickly tell everybody a little bit about the overhaul of the fan club?
Okay. Basically, Brittany and Ari are starting it up. She's really excited to get it going. And we're still talking about it and getting things fixed and doing things. But if you're interested in joining, join her board and sign up for more. I'm out of breath because I just ran up my stairs. Find out more information, visit her board. I'll be in the chat in a second once I get back on my laptop. And Brittany does have a new MySpace. Her own MySpace, we got locked out of it. So, yes, that new MySpace is her. I post on it, post bulletins for her, but she reads the messages, she replies to the messages, and I update her MySpace. But that is her replying to your messages and everything. I do not read the messages. She does that. She'll be the first to tell you that when she gets on the phone. If you have any questions or concerns, you can email me at bunderwoodfan@aol.com. I've gotten a couple emails about joining the fan club and stuff like that. Okay, right now we're having a writing contest, and for more information about that, go visit on her board. Hold on, guys.
For everybody that's listening, they're sending me instant messages about the chat. I did just open it. It's working fine. You may have to reboot. I don't know. I don't know what the issue is with that. So everybody try and reboot because the chat room is open. I don't know what the issue is. They're saying it's not coming up on that side, but it's up for me, so I have no idea And the chat room is not run by Blog Talk. Okay, see, it's open. People are in there, so go in. The chat room is not run by Blog Talk, so if there was an issue, I wouldn't have been able to do anything about it. So,
I was run by Blog Talk.
It's powered by a different company kind of thing. So when there is an issue with it, Blog Talk really can't do anything about it. So, so everybody refresh your pages, and it's open. All right, so now I'm closing IMs. Let's see here. Okay. I gave a rundown of the guests for tomorrow, if you didn't hear, and Robin Sidney, and then on Thursday, Graham Shields. So make sure you tune in for that. Check the website for more details, stardishradio.com. Tonight's guest is a young actress that rounds out the Fab Four for Stardish that we've had on already. She plays Langston Wilde, the girl with two last names, and she has definitely made her mark in Landview, and we are so happy to have her. Please welcome the adorable Brittany Underwood.
Oh, hi, everybody. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Hi, Joanne. Hi, Tony.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Brittany. How are you doing, love?
I'm good. Brittany. How are you? Hi.
Georgette's on the phone, too, honey.
Oh, hey, Georgette. How you doing, sweetie?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm just studying for my test on Thursday.
You excited?
Yeah, just a lot of schoolwork. I mean, just all around. But I'm keeping up this year. It got pretty hectic last year, so I'm hoping to keep up day by day instead of just cramming it like I always do. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, everybody in the chat room is screaming hi to you. Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
And they're saying how much you rock, and they're so excited for you to be here.
Me too.
Let's start with a little bit of background. I mean, you're just 20 years old. You're still a baby, for crying out loud. And you've made your mark already in this industry
on
One Life to Live. So when did you tell me about how you got the acting bug? How did it start for you?
Well, I always enjoyed acting since I was little. I remember just being tiny, like 3 years old in my house, and whenever family came over or whatever, my mom would always make me sing in front of them, and I just loved attention when I was little, and I started acting in actually a community theater. One of my mom's friends started this kind of community theater, and I started there, and then, you know, went to middle school and did some plays, HMS Pinafore, Oliver, Pirates of Penzance, had good roles in that. Then high school, I did Guys and Dolls, and I did The King and I sophomore year, and I was Pupkin. And I just always loved singing, dancing, acting, all that. And then I was, you know, thinking of what it came along to junior year, and I had always, you know, dreamed of being actually a singer. I didn't even think about really, like, being on TV for, like, acting. But I had thought more and more about it come junior year. And so when it came time to decide a college, like what college you want to go to, what you want to do for, you know, your life, I started thinking, you know, really, like, what do I want to do with my life? You know, my dream is to, like, make it big and do something with my life like that, but I also wanted to teach. So, you know, I'm very religious, and I was praying, and I was asking God to, you know, show me what I should do with my life, and I'm not kidding. 2 days later, I turn on Z100, and there was these advertisements for New Stars, this, like, acting class that you could break into Hollywood and do all these, audition for all these, like, casting directors and stuff. So I was like, wow, like, that sounds really, like, you know, that's a sign to me. It was a sign to be called, and I took the classes, and I met my agent actually through that, and then my manager shortly after, and just headed out from there. And I think I did pretty well, like, at the beginning, so I was really blessed, and the timing was, I guess, perfect.
Right.
So I was really fortunate.
Well, we thank Z100 and Elvis Duran for playing that commercial. I don't really like Elvis Duran, but I'm happy that they did it.
Oh, no. I love Z100. I used to listen to Z100 all the time when I was getting ready.
I grew up on Z100, so that tells you how long it's been around, okay? I'm 38.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to it when I was 14. So, but Elvis Duran is a whole nother animal compared to what I used to listen to. So everybody in the chat room is saying the same thing. Thank you to Z100. Yeah, so well, thank you for those paid advertisements. So, now, your first role was on One Order, SVU.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What kind of character did you play? I love Law and Order, and I've seen just about every last one of them. I couldn't remember every actor that I've ever seen in it because that's just way too many things to ask me to do. But what character did you play? What kind of storyline did you have?
It was the season premiere of season 7. It was called Demons, and I played a girl called Kelly Browning, and I was a rape victim. And, and I had to cry, and I never had to cry for anything before. It was my first job. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, but, you know, my manager, like, helped me out a lot. She was there, and, you know, there's two scenes, and one was in the hospital, and I had to, you know, tell Mariska Hargitay, her character, that, you know, what had happened, basically. And then the other one we filmed right outside Port Authority, and it was me in the back of the ambulance, you know, crying and saying that this guy had taken me into the back alley and put my shirt over my head, and, you know. And it was a really wonderful experience. Mariska Hargitay was so sweet and absolutely adorable. I mean, we had to go from one part of Manhattan to another, and so we were just going to walk, but Mariska was done doing another scene, and she just, like, saw me, and she was like, oh, why don't you come with me in my car, because I'm taking a car, like, over there. And so I went with her in her car, and she had just ordered food, and she was like, oh, do you want some? Where are you from? You know, very friendly, down to earth, wanted to know about me, like, super sweetheart. She was really, really nice. She was really good.
I wasn't
love
expecting
Mariska
that.
She's absolutely the best.
She's so nice.
Yes.
Go ahead, Tony.
No, incidentally, the episode that you're referring to, Brittany, the Law and Order SBU episode, they're going to show a rebroadcast of that episode next Wednesday night on the USA Network starting at 7 p.m. Eastern and then again at midnight Eastern.
Oh,
really?
Very good. Okay,
like
so set your demos. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
you know, USA, Bravo, TNT, and they can just play one order till it just can't play no more. And
exactly.
I don't think it ever runs out, but definitely. So make sure everybody write that down. Thank you for that information, Tony.
Yeah,
Mariska Hargitay is a beautiful woman. She's got such a the lineage on her with her father and her mother, Jane Mansfield. So she's definitely something to see. That must have been amazing working with her.
Sometimes actors have that, you know, that the image of just kind of being very into themselves and you know, being very open and welcoming, especially like the bigger names. But she was very nice, and it's always nice to see people who are so successful and who are so big, who can like really get whatever they want, and still to be humble and down to earth and just beautiful people inside and out. It's really nice to see. So it was a good experience.
How was it working with Christopher Maloney?
You know, I didn't get a chance to work with him a lot. We had a few lines together. He was really nice though too. I didn't get to talk with him as much as with Mariska, but from what I gathered, he seemed pretty nice too. Everybody there seemed pretty nice. When I was at the studio in Jersey, my other day that I worked there, they had lunch with Ice-T and some of the other big people on there, and everyone just seemed, you know, very chill and nice, and it was really nice to see. I liked it a lot.
Oh, that's
good.
Yeah, I'm
really
glad. That definitely would make you want to go further when you see something like that.
Yeah, I'm so glad that I didn't have such an experience that was kind of like, oh my goodness, is everybody like that? You know, if there was like rude people, it was good that everyone was so nice and welcoming.
Oh, okay. Also, I wanted to ask you, was it true that I read that you actually auditioned for Hannah Montana and you lost to Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, that's all.
Is that true?
Okay, so this, I've, like, never stopped hearing about this. I remember I was doing an interview, like, long time ago, back when I first started, and they, you know, like, asked, like, how did you first get started? And I said, my first audition ever was Hannah Montana. And it was just, you know, I had no idea what it was. It was just some Disney pilot. And I literally just did it from my manager's, you know, office, and just was a video sent out to LA, just like every other, like, I'm sure 500, like, million girls auditioned
right.
for it, too. And but the way that the press, like, spinned it was that I was, like, kind of, like, head-to-head with her, and then I locked out to her. But it really honestly wasn't like that. It was just, like, my first time out there, like, I'd never done anything, and I was just, like, on the same level as everybody else who auditioned for her. You know, it wasn't... Like, I got
right.
a million callbacks, you know. So it wasn't like that, honestly.
That's exactly how they made it sound, too.
Yes,
I was like,
right?
get out of here.
Miley Cyrus. I was like, what? Like,
wow, is this like some big conspiracy with her and Billy Ray?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Seriously.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, boy.
Like
yeah.
two squirrels and the needle.
That is too much.
Yeah,
so, Gail. Britt, you're a full-time actress, full-time student. How do you manage the two and then have a social life? I mean, you have a man. And how do you manage all
that? How do you juggle that at?
I don't know. I just, when I have classes, like, this year I have a great schedule. I don't have classes on Friday. Tuesday I have one class from 12:10 to 1:25. And then, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, I have several classes, but none of them start before 1:35. So, like, I can go to work every day in the morning
right.
and be out before lunch and make it back to school. Or, you know, there are some classes that the teachers don't really care about attendance, which is great because then I can just make up the notes and just be there and make sure I'm there for, like, exams and stuff. But there are other teachers that are, like, you really need to be there, like, what's more important to you? Like, I have gotten several talks for teachers that have been like, well, you know, what's more important to you, school or your career? And I'm like, well, right now I'm legally bound to go to work. You know, like,
right.
I don't just work at, like, a store that I can just, like, quit. You know, like, I have
right,
to go.
Right.
And it's not that I would give it up anyway because I love where I am. It's a perfect job for me right now, you know, being in school and still doing that. So, you know, I just kind of have to work it out and try and make deals with the teachers, you know, like, give me makeup work or can I come see you during office hours if there's something that, you know, I really need to work on. And I try and keep up, you know, as I was saying, like, last year and freshman year, sometimes I let things build up and it does come a little bit tedious, especially when storyline is big, you know, but, like, I had last week completely off. This week I just work Monday. So, you know, sometimes I can just go to school for a week or two, you know, and not have to worry about work. But sometimes I go to work every day and then, like, and then I have to play catch up at work. So I kind of just take it as it goes. I take every, like, week as it comes and see, you know, what am I going to have to do? I try and map out because we only know our schedule at most 2 weeks in advance. So, try and, you know, talk to teachers and be like, okay, I'm not going to be here. What am I going to miss? You know, or I go to work and I'm like, okay, I have an exam on this day. Can I please, like, come in later or come in earlier or switch a day? You know, so
right.
I kind of have to go back and forth and plead my case, you know, please help me out. So
right.
it gets really frustrating at times. I mean, I remember when the first week of school, the second week of school, I missed one class that is taught by three teachers. It's research seminar because I'm a biology major, so every junior has to take research seminar, and it basically tells you, you know, what you have to do for your senior research, like what calculations you need to make, how to collect your data, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's run by three teachers. And the first week, you know, we each, like, talked to a certain teacher, and I went to one of the teachers, and I was like, you know, what's the deal with attendance? Because I have to ask that to all my teachers. And she was like, no, it's no big deal. Like, just email me if you miss it or something. So I was like, okay, because the next week I had to work. And then so when I came in the next day, my teacher who was, like, teaching me at the same time, which wasn't the same teacher I talked to, she comes up to me, you cannot miss that class. Like, you might be getting a C now because you missed that one class. Like, you're going to lose all the points for attendance for that because it's a once-a-week class. And I was like, but I talked to your teacher. She goes, she doesn't teach a class. I teach a class right now because they take turns. So I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my goodness, like I'm not going to be able to pass this class. It's required and blah, blah, blah. And then I went to my next class, which I hadn't been to. It was third week of school and I hadn't been there yet because I thought I was going to drop it, but I couldn't. And I was so nervous to talk to the teacher. I was like, you know, I have this job, and I told him where I worked, and I was like, so I'm not going to be able to be here a lot. I'm sorry I haven't been here yet. And he was so nice. He was like, oh, you're on TV. That's awesome. What's up, opera? And I was like, really? I was like, oh, my goodness, this is so great. I was like, how is it with attendance? He's like, oh, just, like, get me a letter from your boss that saying that you're going to be missing some classes. And I was like, okay, and, like, you know, I'll talk to work, and, like, when there's an exam or stuff, I'm going to try and not work that day. He goes, no, don't do that. You don't want to piss them off. I was like, oh, okay. It's, like, totally two ends of the spectrum. I was like, wow, you were so nice. Like, it was the same day that the other teacher had yelled at me. So I was like, thank you for being so nice and understanding, because not everyone's like that. So it made me feel a lot better. So it's like two ends of the spectrum. Like some teachers are totally cool and other teachers are really like hard about it.
Right. Damn, I wish I had that excuse.
Right?
Who's their own, Georgia?
Nice, not good.
That's not fair. I wish I had that excuse. Sorry, I can't come to class. I have to go to work. You know,
right?
I work all my life to live, by the way.
Well, and I guess it helps when your professor's a fan of the show, too, you know? So that always helps.
You know, you should be like, are you a fan of One Life to Live? Because guess what? I work on there.
Yeah, great introduction.
I'm telling you.
One of the teachers was actually like, oh, my daughter, like, saw, like, the musical. It was, like, 2 years ago. She was like, or last year. She was like, my daughter saw the musical, and she to come to the studio, so I still owe her a studio visit, you know, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it depends.
All right, we'll wash out our back, we'll wash yours, no big deal.
Yeah,
exactly, you know.
Trade off with my teachers, bribing
them. It's all barter, it's all part of adult life, bartering.
Right.
So, now, describe Langston to me as if I never had watched the show. Who is she to you, and do you have any of her traits?
Oh, okay. Well, Langston has kind of evolved because when she first came on the show, she was very kind of really edgy. She had this crazy hair, like her clothes were even crazier, and she had this kind of attitude, like she doesn't care what people think, and like she was very, like, you know, very close to Star because she really didn't have anyone, and nobody knew that her parents were dead at the time, but She kind of ignored that and didn't want to really face it. So instead, she lashed out in these other ways in her attitude and her dress. And, you know, once she became good friends with Star, it was kind of like Star was all she had. The Star became like her family in a way. So she, you know, was very protective of her. And then she kind of grew into her own character when it came out, you know, about how her parents died. She had a kind of softer side that hadn't always been seen in Langston. She kind of, you know, showed that she really was hurting inside and she had never had a way to express it. And she finally, you know, when Dorian came into the picture and was very caring, it meant a lot to Langston. And it was good that Dorian was the one to, you know, bring it all out because Langston had always kind of liked Dorian's kind of edge that she had herself, so it's good that Dorian's the one who's taking care of her, and now she's kind of liking living in the nice house that Dorian has, La Boulay, and she's a little bit, you know, adjusting to living in, you know, a richer lifestyle, but also kind of keeping herself, and there's this great scene where Dorian bought her an outfit, and it was like this red top and like these nice black pants, and Langston kind of was showing her belly and had her hair to the side, and had all these crazy jewelry on, and Dorian goes over to her and, you know, takes her to the mirror and takes off the jewelry, the clunky jewelry, rolls down the shirt, you know, kind of fixes her up. So there's a little kind of a finding herself when she wants to please Dorian because, you know, she is appreciative of everything that Dorian has done for her and taking her in and really being like a second mom to her, and now becoming legally or trying to become her legal mother. So she's a bit struggling with that, but still keeping herself and keeping her edgy side. And for a while, like in the strikes, they kind of lost Langston and Marco's edge, and we became kind of softer characters, which we weren't too fond about. But then, you know, we kind of stepped it up and figured out how to make some of the softer lines work with our edgy personalities. So we brought back some of the edge and some of the flair and some of the feisty energy that Langston and Marco have that I love. And Langston is, to me, I like her a lot. I think, you know, she has a lot of strengths. We are different in that she's very much into literature and I'm very much into science. And I do have some qualities. I mean, I try and be really friends to my friends, you know, very supportive if they need something. And even just people that, you know, sometimes I don't always know that well, but if I can help people, I try to, because, you know, why not? Like, the world has so many terrible things in it, and I think it's kind of unfortunate when people are very, like, mean to people they don't know, you know. And when you see, like, beauty in the world, you just meet random people, and they're just so nice. It's just so, it's a good feeling to know that there's still, like, good in the world, and humankind is not, like, so evil as everybody, like, thinks that we're all, like, selfish. And so I think I share that quality with Langston of being a good friend and trying to hear people out. I'm a good listener. Langston's a good listener. I love to just listen to my friends if they have problems and, you know, try and help them out. And, I think that's it.
That's it, and I love the description that you gave, because that's exactly how I saw her, and I just want, I like to hear the actors' opinions on their characters, and that's exactly what I would say, exactly. So now, you're all set to become a Kramer woman in Income. Your long-lost uncle, played by the so fantastic vet, A. Martinez.
Oh, my God.
That's like a big friggin' deal, you know. I mean, I don't know if some of these young kids out here realize who he is and the things that he's done, but he's been around for a long, long time. And I'll tell you, when we were down, when Georgette and I were down there in front of that set, and I saw him walking down the street, I was like, shut the F up. That is A. Martinez, man. You don't know who that is?
That was just like the thrill
of a lifetime for me to see him. So tell me what it's like working with him.
Oh, my goodness. He is so amazing. It was so funny because, you know, when Frank, our executive producer, first came to me and said, you know, we're working on a family member. And then later he said, you know, we're working on an uncle. And then he was like, I was told by one of our producers, you know, you're going to be doing some screen tests with people, you know, some relatives, you know, or whatever. And I never screen tested with A. Martinez. They're just, people started saying, like, oh, we got A. Martinez for the role. And I had no idea who that is, but everybody seemed to know who he was. So
right.
I actually went and researched him. I was like, who is this guy? You know, I don't know who this is, but everybody knows him, so I better, you know, step it up and figure out who he is. So I went and I researched, and, you know, that he was on Santa Barbara, and I actually looked on YouTube. I saw some old school videos of him, and I was like, oh, my goodness, like, he's a really good actor, and I was really impressed. And then I became really excited because I felt like I had known a little bit more about him, and then I saw him when he first came into the studio, and I recognized him, and I was like, are you A. Martinez? You're going to be playing Ray? And he's like, yeah. And, you know, I didn't have, like, any hair or makeup on, and I just, like, look really crappy when I go to work in the morning. So I was like, oh, I'm going to be playing, I play Langston. It's going to be your niece. And he was like, oh, Brittany, hi. I was like, what? Like, you know my name? I was like, oh, cool. He goes, yeah, I saw you. You're really good. I was like, wow. Like, that was, like, really, I was really impressed by that he was like, you know, remembered me and, like, I guess seen the show and, you know, that he was, like, such a sweetheart to say that. And so I was kind of like, oh, okay, because at first I thought, you know, maybe since he, like, was a big actor that maybe he would be kind of, like, a little, like, standoffish or, like, very, like, serious about his work and not want to, like, associate with it, like, I don't know, me. So it was really nice that he was so, like, sweet. And we started doing scenes together, you know. We all, like, joke around on set, not too much, but, you know, we like to have fun. And he kind of seemed to play along with it and, you know, make little jokes here and there. So it was like, okay, this guy's cool. Like, he's really nice, great actor. So he's just a sweetheart. I had a lot of fun. And I had nothing bad to say about it. It was really actually pretty amazing. And it's also different because, you know, acting with someone that you don't really know is kind of like I know, it was kind of a little intimidating because he is so big, but at the same time, I feel like it makes you grow when you act with someone like that who's so much, like, better. It just kind of makes, forces you to even step it up the game a little bit. So,
right.
I think it was a good experience all around. I was really happy with that whole thing.
Oh, so that's good.
Yeah.
You're having good experiences all around, so this is good. Good karma, girl, good karma.
Definitely.
let me ask you, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh, God, you know, I've been debating that for so long because I don't know whether I want to. I mean, I would love to stay on the show, but then I also want to try new things. But staying on the show is, like, I love everybody on the show. I love the whole pace of One Life that One Life to Live has. I like everybody behind the scenes, in front of the screen, you know. Everybody's mm-hmm. become, like, a second family to me. And also, like, you know, depending on where I want to live, you know, if I do want to go out to L.A. and see what happens and,
right.
you know, experiment there, I've just been kind of debating that with myself, you know, and seeing where I want. Because, like, the thing is, my contract with One Life to Live is up right when I graduate. So I'm going to be in such a weird place. Like, where do I want to get a place? Do I want to get a place in the city? Do I want to wait a little bit?
Right.
So I, you know, I can't even tell you. I think I'm just going to have to wait till I get closer and see.
And see, you know, what's going to happen.
If I'm going to stay or if I want to go and then come back. I would definitely, if I did ever leave, I would love to come back. I don't ever want to, you know, just say goodbye. I would want
right.
to see you later. You know what I mean?
All right. That's cool.
So,
nothing wrong with that. Like I said, you're 20 years old. So it's like you've got so much time ahead of you, you know.
Yeah.
Before it's 10:30, so before I go to the phones, I have an emailed question from a young girl named Jackie. Jackie says, "You are amazingly talented and an amazing singer. What
Aww.
I am wondering is, what is it like with you doing a duet with someone with the range and volume that Jason sings with? You two seem to harmonize absolutely perfectly, and I was wondering if it intimidates you at all or if it's completely easy. You both have so much talent and sing amazing together."
Thank you so much, Jackie. I love singing with Jason. I just, you know, me and Jason get along so well that it's comfortable, and because I think that if I didn't know someone and I had to sing with them, I think I would feel a little bit kind of intimidating. If they were as good as Jason and I didn't know them, I think I would feel a little intimidating, and maybe that they were, like, judging my voice, or if I messed up, you know, if I wasn't, like, on point. But, you know, I think our voices go together as well, and I think that we just, like, I think we work well together, and I just like working with Jason. It's a lot of fun. So it's both combination of, like, I think we do well together, and I think we have fun while we're doing it. So
right.
I think that's
okay.
why it works. So.
All right. Well, that answers your question, Jackie. She's going to listen to it after the show's done airing. She's going to download and listen. She couldn't call in to do work
awesome.
Or something. Okay. So let's see. We're going to move over to the phones, darling. You all ready?
Okay. Ready.
All right. Let's go. First area code I'm calling, Lotto Bingo. Area code 989, you're on the phone with Brittany.
Hello?
989,
Hello?
You're on the phone with Brittany. What's your question?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep, we can hear you.
Hey, sorry. Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
I was actually wondering if you could switch places with one person, who would it be? Like, in the world, past or present?
In the world, past or present. Wow. Ooh, good question. I gotta think about that one. I don't know, because it's hard to say. You know, you think that when you look at someone and you think that you know, like, their life, and say they have, like, a really good life, or if it's a big celebrity and you think they have it all, you know, you don't know what they're going through, like, behind the scenes, like, what they're struggling with, and if, like, they're happy where they are, because a lot of people, like, pretend to be happy in front of the cameras, and then behind the scenes, they don't really have all the joy that, like, I feel like you need in life. So, that's hard to say. I don't know who that would be. I'm happy, you know, being me, and And right. I think I've been very blessed with good friends, good family, a good job, and I think God's been really good to me, and I think I'm happy. I'm happy with who I am. That's a good question. I'm going to have to think about it, and I'll get back to you on that one.
That's okay. The perfect answer.
Thanks for the question.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Up next is area code 575. You're on the phone with Brittany. What's your name and your question?
Hey, this is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wanted to tell you that I think you're amazing and you do a great job, and I love Langston. And I love Langston and Marco together.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
And I guess what my question is there's rumors that, you know, that Langston is going to have to be taken away from Dorian and all that, and that Langston and Marco would have to maybe say goodbye to each other. And I was wondering, do you think there's any chance that something would happen, you know, like with what happened when Star and Cole were having to say goodbye?
You know, that's a good question. I don't want to give too much away, but I think I want to see how to best answer this. There is going to be some conflict. It's not going to be easy. Dorian getting, you know, getting me as her legal adopted daughter. There is going to be a custody battle, and we're going to have to see who wins. I mean, if Dorian wins, then, I would stay in the Landview, hopefully. But I guess if Ray did win, I don't know if he would take me back to Columbia. God, I hope not, but if he did get custody and wanted to take me back, I would be really sad. I would have to say goodbye to all my friends and everyone in the Kramer family, and that would be really sad. So I hope not, but we'll see.
Okay, well, thank you for answering that, and I know you have a lot of other calls, but I just wanted to let you know that you're great, and I really like how active you are on your board and stuff. That's really awesome that you do that.
Are you the one with the art?
Yes, you commented on my art that you liked my Senor Super Macho banner.
I loved it. That was awesome. It cracked me up. I loved it. Good job. That was really creative.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tanya.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Tanya. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so this next guest is the young lady who created the advertisement that was made to promote you on the show, the banner.
Is
Tony Ann.
Polly Ann?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi, Brittany. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, I actually have a comment and a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
First, the comment I want to make, Joanne already touched upon with the whole you being college thing, and I had heard in a video that you were a bio major, and you
mm-hmm.
just confirmed that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is I'm a college student myself. For you to take on a load, especially with a major like biology, and do the work that you do and the job that you do, that gives I have a lot of respect for that. That's all I can say. Because college drives me crazy.
You.
And I don't even have your job.
Everybody. Thank you. Yeah. It's fun at the same time. You know, it is kind of that crazy, but like you're meeting new people and hopefully that you'll have friends, you know, that you'll keep in contact for a very long time and kind of learning a lot about yourself. So it's a crazy experience with or without a job. So I'm just, you know, I'm also lucky to have a job like that during high school during college, because a lot of, you know, kids, haven't started their careers yet. So they have these jobs and everybody's struggling. So I've just been really blessed. So that's what I take it as.
Well, I don't know how you do it, but props to you for doing it.
Well, thank you.
And my question is, in August of last year, they were sort of, I think it was on the episode that aired on the 15th. I'm not exactly positive. They sort of made Langston seem like, in the past, the only way she got guys to stay around was by sleeping with them and things like that. How would you have felt if they pushed Langston in that direction and made her that kind of character?
Oh, is it when
Marco and Langston had that ice cream makeout scene. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
the thing with that was, because Langston and Marco, you know, have never had sex, and Langston's a virgin as far as I know, what the, you know, writers have told me. But when she was pushing, you know, Marco, like, oh, yeah, let's go, you know, hop in the shower and all that stuff, she was kind of, you know, struggling with her parents and thought that that was the only way that she could keep a guy around because, you know, I guess her... she and her parents hadn't had the sex talk because, first of all, they weren't around, and then, you know, they really weren't around after all, you know. So I think that she never had anyone to tell her better, you know, that, like, you don't, that's not how you need to act in order to keep a guy around, and if he really likes you, he'll like you for you and not for giving him your body, you know. So I think that that was going on and about if they made Langston that kind of character. It'd be fun to play. I think that'd be actually very interesting. And, you know, if it was character related, not that just Langston would just start sleeping around for no reason, you know what I mean?
Right.
But if it was, you know, like something happened to make her feel really, like, insecure and that, you know, she lost someone else or something to make her feel that she was, like, really alone and that she wasn't loved, then, you know, then I could feel that. And definitely, I think that, you know, it'd be fun. I think storylines like that are fun. But at the same time, like, I hope not. I hope not, just because, you know, it is that kind of storyline. My mom would watch the show and go, oh, but he's funny, why? So,
Yeah,
a little Colombian Catholic lady. So.
Personally, I think your ability is so much better than having a character that just does things like that and acts promiscuously. So I pray one of my Philip never does that with
you. Yeah, I hope so. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Diane. I'm going to let you get to your callers. I'm going to let you get to your other callers, and I'll see you on the 28th.
Alrighty, and good luck with school.
Thank you, Brittany.
Alrighty.
Bye, Tony.
Bye.
Bye, Joanne.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye,
okay,
Joanne.
Honey. All right. Yes, she is a great graphic artist. She does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we're gonna move on now to area code 347. You're on the phone with Brittany.
Hey, Brittany. It's Adelia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My name is Adelia.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I don't have a question. I'm a new watcher on One Life to Live. I just started watching One Life to Live, so I don't really have so many questions, but I just want to say you're doing a really, really good job, and you're one of my favorite characters.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
And my
I'm glad you started watching.
Yeah, my friend Nikki introduced me to the show, so I want to say thank you to her. It's a really good show, and I really like it.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy.
Thank you. And also, I have, like, a lot of pictures of us from the studio, so I wanted to bring them to you one day whenever I come down.
Oh,
yeah. I guess we'll see. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I hope so.
All right. Great talking to you.
Alrighty. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Have a good night.
You too.
Good night. Okay, we're going to area code 718. You're on the phone with Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. My name's Alyssa.
Hi, Alyssa.
Hi. I have to tell you, you're doing such a great job. Like, the storyline, I love it.
thank you.
No problem. And it was really nice meeting you. I met you at the softball game back in June.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had two questions I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about doing the whole Broadway thing? Because you got an amazing voice.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
you know, my mom has always been telling me that, like, oh, why don't you do Broadway? Why don't you do Broadway? You know, my manager called me last year and wanted me to audition for the new cast of Spring Awakening.
Oh, my gosh, my favorite show.
I know. I went and saw it. I love Jonathan Groff. And
yep.
he's amazing.
Yes,
and also a sweetheart. And, you know, I wanted to go for it, but the thing is, since I am in school, it would have been, like, I couldn't.
Right.
I couldn't do a show at night, classes in the morning, and then somewhere in between do One Life to Live.
So I did kind of, you know, not go out, not saying that I would have got it, but I didn't even want to, you know, I also miss a class for an audition that I might not even get, you know what I mean? So I have been kind of not going on auditions because it's one thing to miss class for a job that you have to go to and also want to go to, but I do really have to go. And but it's another thing to miss for an opportunity that you might not even get. So I haven't done it now, but maybe, you know, maybe in the future, you know, Jason juggled Chorus Line and One Life to Live, but he did say he was tired. So did Jonathan when he was on the show. I know a lot of people say it's really exhausting, but, you know, if I can do school and One Life to Live, then, you know, maybe I could do Broadway, and we'll see, you know, we'll see if anything comes my way, and if I get that type of experience, that'd be awesome. So, yeah, I would love to.
If you don't mind me asking, who were you going to be auditioning for in Spring Awakening?
You know, I don't think it was specific. I think it was just they were just taking actors and just seeing them. I think it was one of those. So.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I absolutely love it.
It's so awesome. I have the soundtrack. I jam to it all the time.
I've seen it plenty of times.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome. So.
Yeah, and one more thing. Have you, like, obviously you've gone and seen shows, but what has been, like, one of your favorite Broadway shows, like, recently?
Yeah, Spring Awakening was awesome. You know, it doesn't get better than that. But, no, I think that was so amazing also because we knew Jonathan and where we went. Like, we were so excited and we got to hang out with the people afterwards. And also the music director from Spring Awakening was also the music director from Mother Courage, which was a play that I did. So it was fun. It was young. It was youthful. It was energetic. And it was not what I expected. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know it was like, you know, like a rock show, like on Broadway. It was so awesome. And it was so, like, true to life and, you know, finding out, you know, like young people. So it was really fun. I mean, I saw Grease also. One of my friends was a conductor for Grease. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, I really liked it. So Grease was another good one. You know, I need to get out and see more shows. I haven't really seen a lot of shows. So I wanna go see In the Heights with my boyfriend. Jason told me that I would really like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And my mom and just told me that she wants to go see Jersey Boys.
So I heard that was amazing.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. Yeah, so I'm going to go see that, and then I'll let you know. So, we'll see if that one tops Spring Awakening.
We'll and it was funny, because when I used to go see Jonathan, because he knows me, we used to talk about One Life all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Me and my best friend always used to talk to him about it. He always used to get a crack out of it, because that's what he talks about.
He's awesome. We had such a good time with him.
Yeah.
We were really sad to see him go, but we had such a blast with it. Jonathan Groff keeps getting brought up. You know, I went to the Emmys like 2 years ago, and there's these people who are like, we know Jonathan. And I was like, ooh. And it completely stopped me. Like, me and Portia both like turned around. We're like, what? You know Jonathan? And like, we're like, oh my God, how do you know Jonathan? You know, like, keeps getting brought up. And then when we went to Broadway Cares, he was at the after party, but I had left, and I was really sad because Brandon and Jason called me, and they're like, Jonathan's here, and I was like, what?
Brandon told us.
I was so mad that I didn't get to see him, but hopefully soon I get to see him again.
You know, I know you got a lot of other callers, but I just want to say you're doing such a great job, and it was great to talk to you.
Thank you for calling in. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Good night. All right, let's move on here to area code 516. Aaliyah, you're on the phone with Brittany.
Hi, Brittany. This is Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah. How are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I was wondering that if you could act with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
I don't know. Either Kiefer Sutherland or Denzel Washington.
I love Denzel.
If I ever got to act in the scene with them, I think I'd just about die. So, or Wentworth Miller, another one of my favorites.
Who has been the most influential being in your life?
Who's the most influential being in my life?
Yeah.
My mom. My mom, I think, has raised me pretty well. You know, I was raised Catholic and Colombian, which is like another culture in itself. And,
I think, you know, she's strict, and at times we, you know, like, get into fights because I want to, like, go out and do a bunch of crazy stuff, and she kind of is, like, the one to be like, no, but at the same time, I think that she's taught me a lot, and she's a very strong, powerful woman, and I really respect her a lot. I'm totally a mama's girl, so my mom's, like, I'm very close with her. She's my one weakness, you know. If she ever starts, like, crying or is upset about anything, I just, like, can't help it. I can't disappoint her. Like, I'm always trying to make her proud, so definitely my mom is my big influence in my life.
I also wanted to let you know that I thought that you're doing an incredible job on One Life to Live.
Oh,
I really enjoyed your
character.
Oh, thank
you so much. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Aaliyah.
I'll let other people speak, so.
Thanks, Aaliyah. I'm sorry?
I'm going to let other people speak, but thank you for speaking.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, thank you for calling in. Have a good night, Aaliyah.
You.
Thanks.
Okay. We've got 9 minutes left, people, so I'm going to try and squeeze as many as I can in. Keep your questions one. Let's move on to area code 917. You're on the phone with Brittany.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
My name's Larissa.
Hi, Marissa. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually just want to tell you, everybody's been saying it. You're doing an amazing job on the show.
Thank you.
All the praise is well deserved.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Some of my favorite scenes were. Some of my favorite scenes were when it was revealed that Langston's parents were dead. They were so real and so moving, and it was really great work.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're welcome. I actually just had a question. Are there any particular actors or actresses that you like watching in the business, whether it's movies, you know, television?
Like I said, I really enjoy Kiefer Sutherland. I enjoy Denzel Washington. Those are my favorite. Who I also, you know, recently kind of developed a kind of awe for is I just recently watched Gangs of New York for the second time. And the guy who plays the butcher, I just, you know, when I watched it the first time, it was just an awesome movie. But I watched it the second time, I started, like, just looking at the way he acted. And it was so incredible to me, like, his choices that he made, the way he, like, portrayed the character. It was just, like, spot on every time. And he really, really blew me away. And I wish I could remember his name right now. But that is one incredible actor right there. And I was really happy that I got to just, like, wow, see it again and realize how great he was. So that's true. I think
that's actually a great movie.
Oh, it's a wonderful movie. Awesome. Love it.
Yes. I heard you mention Wentworth Miller.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love Prison Break, and I think he's really cute.
That is my favorite show ever. I don't miss it ever on a Monday night. And I heard you mention him, and I was like,
Yes. Me and my boyfriend are, like, addicted to that show because I started watching it, you know, with my friend from high school, actually, back in the day. And then started watching it online, and then I told my boyfriend over the summer, you know, oh, my God, you have to start watching the show, and he was like, all right, you know, whatever, not really into it, and then he started getting into it, and he was like, oh, what? Like, it started getting really good, and he really liked it, so now we watch it together. So
I recruit everybody to that show.
It's
very, I always say, you have to watch, and they're like, Larissa, no, please, but they end up loving it, so. I know you have so many other callers. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to all of us tonight.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Keep up the great work. I'm really excited to see what happens
with
the character.
Thank you. Thank you, Marissa.
You're welcome. Have a great
night.
Thank you.
All
right. Too. Bye, everybody.
Night.
Bye. Bye, Marissa.
Okay. So you have a movie, Margaret. What's the story with that?
Oh, God, you know, I don't know what the story is with that because I did that back when I was in high school. And
oh, really?
I've not heard anything about it coming out. Like, I've kept, like, trying to figure it out. And actually, I did, when I did Mother Courage, one of the actors in Mother Courage was on, was in the movie. And then one of the husbands of one of the designers worked with it. So I keep meaning to ask her what happened with that because I don't know where it went, you know, and they keep saying, I heard like rumors that they were waiting to release it in time for the Oscars because they were hoping to get some nominations, But, you know, that was, like, years ago, and I don't know what happened with that. I hope they didn't just throw it away, but it's been a really long time, so I have absolutely no idea. But, yeah, I'm going to have to keep trying and investigating. I have no idea.
Everybody's looking to find out what the deal is, so.
Yeah, all my friends are like, what happened with the movie? What happened with the movie? I have no idea. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, we have time for one more caller. So area code 352, you are on the phone with Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. What's your name?
Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan of yours, and I love One Life to Live. And I just wanted to ask, what's your take on Star's pregnancy?
I think that I think it's a good storyline to do, and I think that it's important for girls, to watch and see the hard times because, in the movie Juno, it just kind of didn't show up hardships of it, although I thought Juno was hilarious and I loved it.
Yeah.
I think it's also good to show both sides, and because I've had friends whose moms had them at 16, and it's not to say that, you're going to have a terrible life and your kid's going to have a terrible life, because that doesn't always happen, but at the same time, sometimes it does, and it is hard regardless, and why choose that way, if you can prevent and use protection, and
yes.
I think it's good that they're showing both sides, that, the choices that you can make. I mean, she thought that she wasn't going to see him forever, so she just gave it away, and you don't have to do that, I think that it's important that they show the options that girls have, that they don't just have to give it away,
Exactly.
So,
I think it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I just think it's really neat how it's just not showing, how Star's affecting Nicole. It's like Langston and Marco and their family.
Yeah. Everybody, because, Langston and Marco, the whole thing, we did a scene where we went to, on like a field trip or whatever, and Star couldn't go because she was pregnant, and it's like, you do miss out when you're pregnant at 16 because
exactly.
You can't be a kid. You're still a
yeah.
kid yourself, and now you're trying to become a mom, and it's hard to give up your childhood like that, and it's really unfortunate sometimes. So I'm glad that they show that it's not all just like, oh, I can have a baby, because those girls who all made a pact to become pregnant, it's so sad. It was really sad to me. So I'm glad they show what girls give up at that age. So it's good.
I just want to say I think you're doing a great job on One Life to Live, and you're one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks, Courtney.
Thanks for calling in, Courtney.
Thanks for calling
Thanks,
in.
Courtney.
Have a good
Bye,
night.
Brittany. You too.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, guys, we have 2 minutes left. Brittany, this hour went by too fast. You're definitely going to have to come back.
Definitely. I loved it.
What everybody has to know is pay attention to what Georgette's posting in the chat room. It's Brittany's message board. She does participate. So go join her board, and you never know. You just may be talking to her yourself. Make sure you go check it out and sign up. So, Britt, before you go, can I get you to do a promo for the show?
Of course.
Okay. So you can just say, this is Brittany Underwood on Stardish Radio, something like that,
Whatever looks good at the end.
However you choose to say it your own way, this is Brittany Underwood on Stardish Radio, something like that. We're recording already, so whenever you're ready, sweetie.
Okay. This is Brittany Underwood. Make sure to tune in to Stardish Radio.
Oh, that's so perfect. See, now I can compile Kristen's, Brandon's, and Jason's and have the Fab Four all together. So
there you go.
Thank you again, Brittany Hart. What?
Brittany, I want you to tell everyone that your MySpace is really you. People are saying that. Please.
No,
tell
the
them.
Thing that guys, what happened is I changed the password, and stupid me didn't write it down, because usually I don't use numbers, and I used a number that I guess I don't usually use, and I forgot what it is. And I know that they can send you your password to your email, but I haven't used that email account since I first started MySpace 5 years ago. So I have no way of getting my password or into it, and it's such a shame because I have all my friends on there, and I have absolutely no way of, posting, because my thing is private, so I can't even go onto my new one and post a comment on my old one saying, hey, guys, it's really me because it's private. I'm not friends with myself. So the new one is really me, and Georgette helps me out with just, you know, updates and stuff with the messages. I do the messages, and she doesn't read them, and I'm going to be the one writing back. So we're trying to get that started. So, yep, it's me, guys.
Okay, so everybody know, it is her official MySpace. Jet is running it. Brittany does answer her own messages. So you're not getting messages from Georgette. You're getting them from Brittany.
From Brittany.
That's it. All right, guys, we are getting ready to go off the air. So please make sure that you tune in tomorrow for Robin Sidney from Drake and Josh and the Jonas Brothers 3D movie. And on Thursday, Grand Shields from General Hospital, and True Blood, the HBO smash hit, will be joining me also. Brittany, my love, thank you so, so much
thank
for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I had a great time, and I hope to come back soon because you guys were awesome. Thank you.
Anytime,
yeah,
sweetheart.
Come back soon. Take care, Brittany.
Alrighty, thank you.
All right,
bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.